Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Living in Las Vegas starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, that groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home, the Living in Las Vegas podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was. Mr. Scott Whitney.
You know, part of the fun at the beginning of this show is to see if I can torture my wife right before we go on camera.
And you almost always do.
It's pretty fun. Why are you looking at my breasts? Stop it.
I think you're infatuated with your own nipples.
I'm not. And you know that because sometimes you poke me in the nipples and I don't like it. Hey, welcome everybody to the Living in Las Vegas extravaganza here on the Vegas Video Network. What? I love it here. Yay! I'm your humble host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa. And as always, I'm joined by my naughty jelly sweet. She is the magic wand to the rabbit in my hat. What does that mean? It's Melissa Whitney, everybody. Big hat. Come on. Look at, oh, she's a cute one, that one. Hey, you know what we're going to do on today's show?
But shouldn't you be the one with the magic wand?
Oh, that's good.
Just saying.
That's good. I'm the magic wand to your rabbit in the hat. Oh, that sounds dirty, though, which is why
Let's
I like it.
Let's move on.
All right. Here's what we're going to do today. The tease is simply this. Does Melissa hate magic, and can she be turned? I don't know. But first, because we're good hosts, what are we going to do? Say hello to our live studio audience. Hello, live studio audience. And this amazingly good-looking crew. People from all over the world, and of course, our live chat. Our live chat. Hello, live chat. What's happening? Hello. Oh, by the way, new rules for the live studio audience. Used to be, if you're going to come in, it's polite. You know, when we go to a party, what do?
We bring a gift, a hostess or host gift.
Right. We bring like a bottle of wine or something.
Like, we're some good, flowers we're good people. Or something else.
But in this occasion, let's go to camera one. Wanna? Terry. Now, Terry brought me this.
I think he believes in the go big or go home motto.
This is the world's largest bottle of Honey Jack.
Now you will you hold it up closer to your head? Is it bigger than
It's bigger than my head.
Look at that.
Hello. It's as big as my head. Pretty cool. Now, you may be saying to yourself, why would somebody do that? Well, let me tell you a story about Terry. Terry is my friend from high school.
Here goes Terry.
I met Terry. You know, this is over 30-odd years ago I met Terry. And the very first time I drank alcohol in high school was with Terry.
Seriously?
And actually, I told this story this weekend sometime to somebody. I'm pretty sure I did.
Is this the story with the
So our very first drink ever was vodka and orange juice, which is, what's that called?
Reasonable. Screwdriver.
A screwdriver. But we didn't know any better because we were dumbasses. And so then we added root beer. So we had root beer, orange juice, and vodka. And it was horrible.
It sounds horrible.
It was horrible.
It sounds like it would taste like medicine.
It was terrible, but we kept drinking it. It was so bad. And that's what started it.
And it's been...
So I want to thank Terry Smith for teaching me how to drink the worst crap ever. Okay.
But look at that.
He's moved up. I think he felt bad for forcing me to drink root beer and vodka. And so he's brought the largest bottle of Honey Jack ever.
And you were running low.
I was running low. Now I'll have enough for
a couple shows.
Okay. All right. So What are we going to talk about? Quickly, we spent some time at the Smith Center the last couple days. Want to do a quick shout out to Travis.
We're being cultured.
We're very cultured people. I want to shout out to Travis Clore. He's the guy who plays the lead in Jersey Boys. He is Frankie Valli. He had his own show last night.
Last night
at the Cabaret Jazz. Got a couple of pictures of this. This is a guy who you just have to go see. First of all, if you're in town, oh, this would be a good show for you guys to see as well. Jersey Boys. You got to go see Jersey Boys because it's good. Here's a couple of pictures of him last night at the Smith Center. There is him. And, oh, my God, the guy literally has a voice of an angel. That's far away, and I can even get closer to the magic of video. Watch. Boop. There it is. See that? Nifty. And he's just the nicest guy, and he literally has a voice of an angel. And I'm not kidding you. The highs, the lows, it's stunning how good this guy sings.
Well, and do you remember so when we were watching what I said in the Jersey Boys show, he plays the role of Frankie Valli, so he sings mostly, you know, in the very high range. What was great about this show is we got to see him, you know, singing in the lower range too, so I really enjoyed that.
Right, so three things. A, go see him in Jersey Boys.
Definitely.
B, if he does another one of these gigs, which I'm sure he will because it was sold out, if you get a chance, go see him there. And C, buy a CD. He's got a great CD of the kind of song, love songs, kind of a Sinatra, jazzy, kind of big band thing. And
It would be great for dinner parties.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You were?
I was. Dinner parties.
Night at home when the husband's making you dinner.
Right. So for that song,
Have you ever made me dinner?
Our next subject. Yeah, I made you dinner.
Like the whole dinner?
I don't think I have. Yes, I have.
I'm sitting there like a princess.
Oh,
you're
I think
making
I
the whole
made
dinner.
You peanut butter and jelly or something. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I did. Don't just say I did. Come on.
Oh, I'm just thinking
Quit
about
picking
what.
On me.
No, it's not a picking. I'm just thinking of like what a great, you know. Next time you're like,
I do dishes.
Hey, I know.
That's
I know.
The hard part.
No.
It's easy to cook.
I would do the dishes.
Did anybody cook here? Anybody do dishes? Dishes are hard. Dishes suck.
Well, they do, but you think
and you cook shit that sticks to pans that you have to scrape off.
Well, yes, I cook stuff other than microwave meals.
So, I do all the hard work.
I'm just saying that next time you're like, oh, you know, what do you want or whatever, maybe I'll ask for, you know, you to cook me a meal.
I would like for you to cook the meal.
I know, but it's going to be my present.
All right, for your birthday, maybe?
Like that kind of thing.
What do you want me to cook you?
Well, we have a few months to think of something.
Right. You know what? I will cook. Will you be washing?
Yeah, you do.
Nice. I'm going to bake some freaking lasagna or something.
If it's my birthday, I shouldn't have to. You should do both.
I'll do it real late at night, and then the next day you can do the dishes. That's great.
That's the best romance ever. Here we are negotiating up here. You can see this how it goes. This is exactly how it goes at home too.
People are home, right?
I'll give you one dinner for two, right. You know, dishwashing.
They're thinking like, how does that jackass
get married? Actually, you helped clean house this weekend.
You make that sound like that was a surprising thing.
No, you were very helpful.
I do that a lot.
You do regularly.
I vacuum and dust.
You do.
I mean, make me wear that apron.
I do.
Which I like, except for that part where you touch me. In the bad place.
Let's move on. That's not true.
It is true.
No, it is not.
She touches me in the bad
place. Let's go on.
She touches me in the bad place. Help me.
I'm going to leave.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's not bad. I liked it.
No, I am. I'm going to leave.
No.
You do that again.
No.
I'm out of here.
Second part of Smith Center. We went and saw West Side Story.
We did.
And here's what I learned about West Side Story. Ready? A, I've never fallen asleep in a show before. Did it for West Side Story. First half, I was knocked
it's
out,
true.
Man. Now, I'm not saying
you
it was.
You feel the same way?
It wasn't a bad play. Oh, my God.
Really?
So the we're being heckled by the live studio audience, just saying, it's boring. Not talking about us. Talking about West Side Story.
And I enjoyed
so,
it.
So I was watching it, and I was. It wasn't the show wasn't boring. But I dozed off a couple of times. I'm like, all right, that's really screwed up. So
the whole we first half, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. I was really having a hard time staying awake, you know. And this is a compelling story of the Jets and the somebody's
Sharks.
Sharks. And so there was the intermission, And I grabbed a drink. I'm like, okay, blah, 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 let's go.
You're back in the game.
I'm in. So I watched the second, and the second half was really when it gets going. There's some stuff going on now in the second half.
Well, because now they're fighting. So now
right.
You're engaged.
As you know, fight, fight. Because I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. And it's we're watching it, and I'm really kind of engaged, and I'm leaning into it, and I'm watching the show. I'm like, yeah, this is, I like it. And there's a scene where the guy and the girl, what's the girl's name?
Maria.
And what's the guy's name?
Tony.
Bill. Tony. Maria and Tony. So they're walking.
See, I was awake.
Well, they're
so I was awake, and I actually know who's in it.
I'm so happy that I remember Bridget's name that I can't even tell you how proud of it, which is Terry's wife.
He's not really great. But you aren't the best.
I got to tell you something. They said, we haven't seen you in 20 years. I said, no, I haven't seen you in 30 years. Because that's when we graduated high school. And Bridget's like, well, you're at our wedding. I'm like, I don't remember what I had breakfast. I may have had yogurt. I may have had Life cereal. I don't remember what the hell I do. And you're mad that I forgot something 20 years ago? Sorry. All right. So the scene, compelling scene. This is it. And the two are walking diagonally away from us. And they're like, you know what? Life is going to be pretty good. I love you, honey. Then bam! A gunshot, and half the crowd literally jumped up. No, if anybody saw this movie, nobody told me that this was happening. Gunshot goes off. Tony, boom, on the ground. I'm like, well, I guess this thing is going to go a little longer. And then she's like, oh, Tony, what is this happening? And the curtain comes down. That's the end of the fucking show. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's the end of the show? Tony's dead? What is this? I'm like, I'm on a Hollywood rewrite. How can this possibly be okay? And I could tell people around me going, that's it? he dies? We're going to let this happen? Crazy. So go see it.
Were you bummed out?
Yeah, I was bummed out. Tony's dead.
You were invested in a whole half of a show.
Yeah, he was dancing, and there was that little girl running around dancing.
And there was the love.
She's kind of cute.
Now they're going to run off, and they're going to be in love, you're thinking.
It's Romeo and Juliet. Did Romeo die? He did. He died. Did Juliet die too?
Yeah.
They both died. Right. So actually, I was thinking of that when the curtain's coming down. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is this not Romeo and Juliet? And then isn't she going to have to take her life? And I thought she might come out in front of the curtain and go, you know, kill herself and die.
So you're rewriting only in a worse way.
Well, see, the live chat. Tony always dies. Thanks, Zig. No shit, Tony always dies. I know it. Now I know it. I just didn't see the movie.
See, aren't you glad we went?
Well,
you
not really.
You've gone through life. You've gone all these something years.
I felt really bad.
And you never knew this, you know, this very historic.
I think I'd have been okay not knowing that. All right. Let's talk about some Las Vegas, some good news in Las Vegas.
Good news.
North Las Vegas, good news. Two things. I would have been out there for a while. Two things that are happening here, you know, North Las Vegas, as you said, the north of the Strip, has had some problems, right? There's been some buildings that have gone up and then didn't get finished.
What do you consider north of the Strip?
Well, anywhere from like Wynn North.
Oh,
is
okay.
North Strip is what I meant.
Okay.
Is what I meant. North Strip. And so we've had a lot of buildings that started getting built, Fountain Blue and Echelon, and then we had this Sahara was, you know, stopped and blah 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 blah. Well, Sahara is apparently going to get built.
Sahara?
Yeah, or not Sahara. Yeah, Sahara. Well, it's called SLS Vegas now.
Really?
Yeah. And,
well, they were talking about
the
remodel, right?
It started and stopped and started and stopped. And the deal was this guy who runs it had to come up with $415 million, which is a lot. And he did. And so here's a picture of it, of what was Sahara. They've already started to re-sign it, SLS.
Oh, look at that.
Hotel and casino. So they've already started. And that picture was taken just a couple, 3 hours ago. And there are construction workers inside there right now working. So stuff's going on.
Is today the first day you noticed them there?
First day I noticed, but I read that somebody had noticed it prior to that. So this has probably been going on for a couple weeks now. $450 million. What's interesting about this is, first of all, 1,600 rooms. They're supposed to open it in the fall of 2014, which isn't very far from now, a little bit over a year and a half. But what's interesting in how they funded this is that of the $415 million, $100 million-ish was done through what's called an EB-5 program. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yep.
Did you hear it because of your job?
Yes.
So the way it works is an outside person, visitor, whatever you call it, If they,
an individual,
outside person who doesn't live in America, if they provide $1 million in some places or only $500,000 in places that are financially in trouble, like, oh, I don't know, Las Vegas, for example. If you provide $500,000, basically you can buy your way in as a citizen for $500,000. That $500,000.
Do they get citizenship or permanent residency?
It's a visa. It's permanent residency with a visa.
Green card.
Yeah. So you give them that $500,000, and that $500,000 has to be put into a company that promises to provide jobs for 10 people over the course of 2 years. And so I had heard about this from another casino that is attempting to do the same thing, and I thought, well, this must be a Vegas thing. Marriott does this all the time. A lot of properties in Marriott have expanded with this EB-5 thing.
Really? So, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize that. But you think about, like, the exchange rate of the dollar, like, in the U.K., right, $500,000...
isn't that much.
To them, into, you know, is to probably...
Oh, it's about $320.
Right.
Yeah.
So for $320,000...
Pounds. Right.
You can get...
But it's off and running. Like I said, people are building there, so that's good news. And then just, I think it was today or yesterday, the Echelon got built. Now, I drive by the Echelon every day. Or the shell that was the Echelon,
got
which
sold.
Was owned by the Sand. What did I say?
Oh, I don't know. I thought you
they
said
got.
Built.
They were. It was bought by a company called Genting Group. I've never heard of them before. They're a big Asian. Have you heard of them? Look at you. You're also in the know.
I know stuff.
They're really huge in the Asia world. They've got property in New York, which is very Asian. Florida. Wow. So far, I know what I'm talking about. Malaysia and
Singapore,
yep, and I think one more place. But they're huge, apparently, very, very large. And they bought the Echelon for $350 million.
Which and Echelon was originally, I don't know if you mentioned this, but it was owned by Boyd.
Boyd, right.
But Boyd's been having all this financial trouble lately.
Right.
You know, they just had a layoff, and
yep. Well,
that's right. They've also sold a number of their properties, actually. So... I'm not surprised that they sold it, and I'm glad because it's just sitting over there like a skeleton.
Yeah, so the it's going to be called Resorts World Las Vegas. We have some graphics of what this place is supposed to look like.
That's what it's going to be called?
Resorts World Las Vegas. Let's see those graphics.
I don't love that name.
So that's,
holy
that's
crap,
one
look at
photo,
that.
And we've got three photos. These are all artist renditions. It's very brassy.
Is that Las Vegas Boulevard?
Well,
oh,
that would be the freeway behind it.
Oh, yeah,
it. That's
see that?
Las
look
Vegas
over
Boulevard.
There. That's Trump.
Yep. There's Trump. That white building off to the left is Trump. And the next one. And so you can tell they're clearly leaning towards an Imperial Palace look.
Or
an Asia-Pac kind of look.
I just wonder if they're going after their target audience might
is
be...
Is Asians.
Well, it might
it's
be the same.
Asians.
Well, it might be the same sort of clients that Wynn goes after pretty
well,
heavily.
So you, that's
and
interesting.
It's interesting because they're at the same side of the strip.
So what are they going to have there? They're going to have a convention center, an indoor water park, three theaters... Several hotels.
Theaters, like movie theaters?
Yes, what it says. And 3,000 rooms in total. And analysts believe it's going to put downward pressure on the average daily rates for high-end casinos.
Well,
like
sure, 3,000 rooms.
Right, like Wynn, Encore, Venetian, Palazzo, Bellagio, Caesars. They say all those properties are going to be at risk if this thing actually happens.
Well, yeah, because that will be the new sort of luxury resort in town, and it's interest. What is interesting is they're offering, you know, other entertainment there,
right.
Which is what Caesars is trying to diversify with the Link.
Yep, right. And in the analysis I read, they basically said the reason why they bought it was A, it was pennies on the dollar. So when they were building it, let's see, where is that? In 2007, that property, that area would be $34 million an acre. They bought it for $4 million an acre. And the reason why I said that hurts Fountain Blue is because that has so depressed the value of that property, Echelon, that it depresses further what Fountain Blue is at, because they're right across the street.
Well, someone
basically.
Already bought Fountain
he
Blue.
He did, Eichen or Eakin or whatever his name
Eichen.
Is. But the problem is he was hoping that it would you know, increase in value and then he would sell it. Well, this just depressed the value of that property because of that.
Well, unless it becomes like a really, if it's a really big hit, you could almost put a lower end there because people won't be able to afford to stay here. You could almost put a lower end.
But that's not what Eichen wants to do.
Well, it might not be, but he might change his business plan. And then people will say, oh, I'm going to stay down at that end, and this is a more reasonable price resort, but I can go over and go to the movie theater and go to the water park and and go stay here for the conferences, things like that. So, you know, there could be actually some benefit out of that.
We'll see. Well, anyways, it's good to see. We're happy to see that there are people who are actually buying stuff and building stuff, and I hope it makes...
Well, I'm not really surprised.
The north part is
are you?
Well,
because I'm just saying that because
surprised.
From a...
I've been driving by here for 3 years now, 2 years now, and it's been the same
right?
for 3 years, or 2 years.
But think about, just in the last couple of shows, we've been talking about all the new home construction. We've been actually seeing sort of something happening in the construction, you know, that kind of space.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break and buy some stock in, I don't know what, Boyd, probably not. And then we're going to come
I heard their stock went up.
Did it because of this? Oh, that's good.
Well, I don't know why.
Take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to get all magic-y. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Be right back.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Scott Whitney, Melissa Whitney, the person who made me drink alcohol the very first time, Terry Smith, in the live studio audience. It's his fault, not mine. Okay, let's talk a little bit of magic.
Sheep.
Bad. I was young. I didn't know any better. He was a year older than me. What am I going to do? Tell him no? Yes, I'll have your orange juice. Yes, I'll have your root beer. Yes, I'll have your vodka. Mm-mm. Oh, that is a name for that. It's called crap. Okay. So let's talk a little bit of magic here. All right. So here's the deal. I love magic. Melissa, as a practice, hates magic. Let's start with that premise. As a premise, now let's talk a little bit about magic. Okay, so last week we had the amazing Jonathan in here, and one of his guests for his show is a guy called Bizarro, which was appropriately named, I might add.
He did have Bizarro eyebrows.
Bizarro eyebrows. All the women mentioned that he had these weird eyebrows. All the women did that. None of the guys talked about it,
but
every woman
so
I talked to
said,
he had weird eyebrows.
Was it drawn in? Could you see?
It was
really?
Right. Yeah. Mm.
He needed a better stencil, huh?
But his deal, besides doing magic, is he sells and creates tricks that he sells to other people. And one of the tricks he did was this trick where he took an Oreo cookie, you know, he separated the Oreo cookie, ate the white stuff up, put the two chocolate pieces together, and held it there, and then it just filled up with the cream stuff again. And it actually filled up to a triple fill. It was like really cool. I'm
like a, not even a double stuff,
no,
but a triple stuff?
Yeah. And he was just holding it and just filled it back up. It was very, very cool. And I was watching that. And I'm like, this is really interesting. I think I've seen this before.
That would make me absolutely crazy.
So after everybody left, he was kind of hanging around. And I went to him. I said, hey, I didn't want to bring this up during the show, but you know, I think I've seen that trick before. Where did I see it? He goes, oh, you saw it on Ellen, the Ellen show. I'm like, yeah.
Because you watch Ellen.
Well, no, I don't know how I got there, but don't say that.
It's just funny.
No, I don't watch Ellen. I love Ellen.
You like her dance.
I hate her dance. Okay, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it was Ellen. I'm like, that's right. I said, it was some really good-looking young guy. He goes, oh, he's right over here. So the guy who was on Ellen was sitting in our studio, and I didn't even recognize him. So he comes over. His name is Justin Flom. And a young guy, real nice fella. And we're chit-chatting a little bit, and we're talking about that. And I said, you know, you did this other trick where you took a couple rings or something, and you connected. He goes, oh, no. They were lifesavers. I connected two lifesavers. I'm like, that's crazy. He goes, oh, let me show you something. I'm like, what do you mean? And he did this. Watch this. This is Justin Flom in our studio last week.
I forget to say your name. Okay.
Justin Flom here. You just grabbed a couple of mints.
He was on the Ellen show a little while ago.
I was on the Ellen show, and I did something kind of interesting with these mints. You get it just about right. You can actually get it to look like they're linked. It doesn't happen long, though, if you get a good close-up view. You can see. Actually, you know what? We're going to take your free hand.
Okay.
And we're going to bring your free hand in, and you can hold right there. And you can feel. It's a real mint.
Yeah.
You can see it there. Watch this close. You just... That one's mine, and that one's yours.
Thanks. I know how he did that. That was awesome, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wasn't that awesome? I'm like, that was fucking cool.
And you were standing right there.
Yeah, I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
And I felt the same when I watched him on Ellen. I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. And so it made me think about magic. And I thought, you know, I wish Melissa was here. And then I thought, no, I don't. I still want to be married because she hates magic. And then I thought, wait a minute. I know there's got to be a way for her to like magic. I know there has to be.
I don't like. Are you gonna explain
magic,
why
magic.
I don't want? Are
you? You should explain why you don't.
I don't like magic because I can't stand not understanding how something is done, and not being able to research it and get the answer.
You don't like when you don't know how stuff works.
Yeah, how something works.
And why do you with date magic, men? Why are you married to men?
Well, that's a work in progress, right? But when you do magic, they are bound and they're not supposed to tell you how it works.
Right.
So I hate that, and it really frustrates me because if I can't figure it out, I also know that the likelihood is that they're not going to tell me.
Right. So
I don't mind a puzzle, but I want them to then, you know.
And so it's important to me that I make my wife comfortable and happy. So this weekend I took her to a magic show.
You're a great husband. You're not making yourself look very good.
No, what are you going to do? I'm already married. I'm good.
Your work's done.
By the way, Ziggy's telling me he can Google the trick and tell me how that trick works. Don't do it, Zig. All right.
He should email me how it's done. I'm the one that gets annoyed.
I thought I figured it out on the way
here. You totally don't mind.
No. So we went and saw, there's a guy who's been around here for a while. His name is Mike Hammer. I'll show you his website. Give me a second here.
I like his hair.
Hold on. This is, make that thing go away.
Seen his.
Go to the website. So this is his website, Mike Hammer. He's performing over at Fort Queens.
What's he standing on?
He's standing on a razor blade.
Oh, well, of course.
Because that's part of his show, is he swallows razor blades and then he spits them back out. So that's Mike.
Because that's a completely normal thing to do.
And so I had seen him around town. We've bumped into each other a couple times. So we know each other, but I haven't seen him in his show. And he's asked me to come out to his show several times, so I really wanted to see it. And I'd heard really good things about it, so I said, Melissa, let's go to see a concert. And then it was a magic show just kind of appeared in front of us. No, that's not what happened. I told him the truth. So we went there, and it's, like I said, Fort Queens. It's in the Canyon Club, they call it, which is a really nice room. It's a dark room, low ceilings.
We've seen lots of other things
there. LA Comedy Club was there for a while, and I think we've seen something else there. I forget what. Jay Bowen, who's a musician, plays there now. So we went and saw this show, and I will tell you, it was fantastic.
And it's an early show, too. It starts at 7.
It was fantastic. So, you know, if you look, I can't think of any pure magic shows in Vegas, with the exception of, well, actually, he's
Copperfield?
Dead. Copperfield. There was Roy and what's his name. Penn & Teller is a comedy magic show. So I really lend myself to comedy magic kind of stuff. And this guy... What's great about Mike is that it's hard to tell if he's a comedian who does magic or a magician who does comedy.
I would agree with you.
He does both.
I think he's a comedian. What do you think?
He does both very, very well. I think he's a comedian because he's fast. So in comedy, there's a term called crowd work, which is the idea of playing off the crowd. And he does that as well as anybody I've seen ever. And even just straight comedians. Now, his crowd work is pretty laid out. He knows where he's going. And I've seen some videos of him, and I've seen him do similar shtick, crowd work. So he knows kind of where he's going. And the joke among comedians, or the secret among comedians, is that there is no improv in stand-up comedy. You really pretty much know everything that's going to come at you. I guess it's probably true. There were a few things that came up that I don't know how he could have known they were going to come up, and he handled it very, very well. So the one thing about Mike's show is that there's a huge amount of audience participation, which is fun to watch. I knew we weren't going to get picked because he knew me. And he actually saw us in the table. He's like, how about you guys who are hiding? He goes, oh, I know you guys. So he wasn't going to pick us.
Now, I was worried, right? Because
right.
I don't like magic. I don't want to get called up there. I don't want anything to do with it, although I was enjoying it.
It was so much fun.
But
so,
I even hid my phone because he was going to do something with the phone. Right. Remember that? And I slid it under my purse so he wouldn't see it because I didn't want him to come over to us.
Right.
And you go, are you hiding your phone? I'm like, yes. And you start laughing.
And he had that effect on people. It was really funny. So he would walk out in the audience and you could see people turn their head.
Because he calls people right up on stage.
Right. And he's like, you could turn your head, but I'm still tapping you on the shoulder and bringing you up on stage, so I don't care what you do. And there was probably during the show 20 people who had some part from the audience in his show, which is huge. That's a lot of folks. And how many people were on stage? Maybe 10, 5, 5
well,
to 10?
A lot. But I like the audience participation a lot,
right.
Because you just never know. That's part of the spontaneity, right? You never know how somebody is really going to react.
Yeah.
Right? It was great.
It was stunningly great. So I will say this about Mike. Actually, I'm going to ask you, what do you think about Magic Now?
Magic Mike?
Magic Mike.
Which is a movie. Yes. I loved it.
It was
so
awesome.
Honestly, and I don't, but I think it's because I really felt he was more of a comedian. And, you know, he's sort of an equal opportunity harasser.
Yeah.
You know, he makes fun of.
And he's
of,
a little racist.
He makes fun of everybody.
He makes fun of ethnicities. He makes fun of, I mean, he did all
but
those things.
He makes
things.
Fun of all people.
Yeah, it was.
You know, he doesn't even care what ethnicity
no.
or color, anything. But
he did some pretty ballsy things because he's a little short white guy and he was making fun of, you know, all kinds
everybody.
Of folks. And
everybody.
It was like, you know, you're going to get your ass kicked if you do that outside. But here's the thing I'm going to say about
everybody
this.
Loved him. Everybody was on board, right?
Before, when we had guests stay with us, the go-to, and they would say, I want to see the quintessential Vegas show, but I don't want to spend the money for, say, Cirque du Soleil or something like that. I want to go see, you know, Phantom of the Opera.
Right.
I want to see. So we used to take them to a show called The Mentalist, which is at Planet Hollywood now. And it's a mentalist, you know, he reads your mind. And it's a good show.
Yeah.
And it's quintessential Vegas, man. It's just that kind of a little cheesy, little goofy kind of stuff. That's no longer the show I'm taking them to. I'm taking them to Mike's show. It is so good and so funny. And the magic is good. Now, a couple of the tricks I've seen before, I think I know how they work. A couple, I had no clue how they worked.
I even enjoyed the magic.
Really? Ladies and gentlemen.
Let's not be planning, you know, Saturday night is magic night.
Well,
but
it's usually Sunday morning.
You know, I just.
Nobody got that? did you even hear what I said?
Yes.
And you're going to get mad at me again for that one? That was good, too. All right, never mind. But I do have one more thing for you.
I'm just saying, I really loved it.
It was good. Now, there's different kinds of magic, right? There's sleight of hand.
How much was the show regularly? Are you going to say that?
I can find out. Stand by.
And you can ballet right by...
Yeah,
where you
it's
go
right
in,
there.
It's like you walk in and like 20 feet is the entrance to the show. So
right, and they validate.
It's not like at other places where you got to walk all the way through all the casinos. It'll take you 20 minutes to get to the show. You can actually valet right at the Four Queens,
right.
Sort of in the back there. Just go straight in.
Yeah, and unlike everywhere on the Strip, you do have to pay for, you're supposed to pay for valet, but they validate at the show.
Oh, do they? That's good.
So it's $20 general admission, $33 for VIP, which includes VIP pass, seating, and one drink. So $20.
It's.
And by the way, if you live in Las Vegas,
very worth
they're
it.
On he's on house seats every once in a while, so it doesn't cost anything.
And it's a little over an hour long.
It's exactly.
And it's at 7.
80
so
or
you can
70
go
minutes.
To that, and it's not, you know, it's not so late. You can actually do that and then do dinner. And
right. So I dig the whole magic things, right? So there's the sleight of hand stuff. There is the, you know, the big kind of bloop. And there's also mentalism, which is the idea of either reading minds or what in magic is called a force, where you force somebody to do something. And they don't know that they're doing it. A perfect example of that is on our network, when we first started, we had a show called Behind the Curtain with a gentleman named Steve Dacry. Steve has passed away, sadly, but he was considered one of the top close-up magicians in the world. And he did a trick on one of our shows where he had a deck of cards. Like, here, I'm going to put this out of the side here. He had a deck of cards, and he would just show them. Just keep it on camera one or two for right now. So he would do this, and he would. We had an Elvis impersonator, and the guy would pick a card, and it would be, you know, the King of Clubs. And he put it back, and he shuffled, and he said, "All right, pick another card, but just don't pick the King of Clubs." And he picked the King of Clubs again. He did it three times, four times in a row. It was unbelievable how good this was. That's called a force. Well, the other thing is the idea of manipulation, getting people to do things based upon what you say to them. And a lot of people don't know this about me, but I used to be in the military. And I went in as what's referred to as a voice processor. And a voice processor is a military term for a spy. And so what they have you do is, besides learning a new language...
Well, a spy is not like sneaking around with guns, shooting people, a spy listening
well,
in on conversations.
Well, it's two parts
right?
to it. Two parts to it, which you probably didn't know about. And so the second part is more of a getting people to tell you things that, you know, they may not want to tell you. And when they
like
first,
an interrogator?
Well, not interrogator. That's no, I didn't do a lot of waterboarding back then. But no, it's just have to listen to me and quit asking questions. Just listen.
I'm a naturally inquisitive person.
You're gonna see in a minute. Just listen. So part of it was
you're setting up your magic trick.
Getting
here, huh?
people to do things that you want them to do for you, and I'm gonna do that to you. I'm gonna force
okay.
you to do something, and
okay,
you're not gonna know how
try.
It works. So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna take.
That usually doesn't go over so well.
Well, we're gonna see. If this goes poorly, then I'm gonna blame it on the world's largest bottle of Honey Jack. All right. So what we're gonna do is I'm gonna take nine cards. One, two, three, four. Don't you go to camera four. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Okay? We're going to take those nine cards, and I'm going to create three. Oops, hold on. Stand by. Camera one. I got to look at the cards. And the reason I'm going to look at the cards is I'm going to pick one that I want you to choose from. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Okay. Just give me a sec to look at these cards.
Do you want to hold that up so I can't see it?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's go to camera four. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. All right, so we have three piles of three, right?
Yep.
Now what I want you to do is I want you to pick one of these piles to turn over. You can do pile one, you can do pile two, or you can do pile three, right? Pile one, pile two, or pile three. Which would you like me to turn over?
One.
Okay, so I'm gonna turn over pile one. I'm going to take the other two, and I'm going to pull them aside. All right. Now, watch this. The card she selected is the Queen of Spades. You see that? Right? Queen of Spades, right? You see that, right? Queen of Spades? Okay. I knew you were going to pick the Queen of Spades. And I'm going to show you. I'm going to spell it out for you, which is freaky. Watch this. I'm going to spell out the card name with my cards. And there's a good chance I might even find the Queen of Spades. Watch this. Go to camera four again. Watch. Q-U-E-E-N-O-F-S-P-A-D-E-S. Okay? Now, of all the kinds of entertainment in the world, what's your least favorite?
Magic.
M-A-G-I. Queen of Spades. Is that cool? Isn't that cool?
Well, I'd have to see what all the cards are.
Oh, look. Isn't that cool? I forced you to pick that card.
Well, now, can I shuffle and you do that again?
Yeah, you can shuffle these cards.
No, I mean the whole stack.
Sure, you can shuffle the thing you want. I'll do it again. I got to use nine cards, but you can use any card. Here, go ahead and shuffle.
Okay.
But do it fast. I mean, you know, for the people on the radio, they're not getting a lot of juice right now.
We're not on the radio now.
Yeah, we're on. I mean, they're listening to us by audio. They can still download our audio podcast.
I thought it was because of the swearing.
No, audio podcast. We can still do. So you can shuffle all you want. Doesn't matter. And you can, I tell you what, here's even better. You can pick out the nine cards. Pick out the nine cards.
Okay.
But quick, come on.
Okay.
Quick button.
Do you want me to turn them over?
No. Put them down, nine cards. One, two, three, four. So she's picking them randomly throughout the deck. Five.
Are you sure?
Seven, eight, nine. Okay. So you picked the cards this time, right?
Yes.
I didn't pick the cards. I'm going to look at them again. I'm going to look at them so I can see where they are and what order they're in so I can help force the card. Hold on. Sing something or do something.
Sing. No, you know I'm not a singer. What's taking you so long, though?
I don't get it. I got to know where the cards are. Okay. I mean, it takes me, you know, my memory is crap. as
well, but you're memorizing
knows.
Where the cards are. Right, so but, then when well, you put then, them in your three
okay,
stacks,
so now,
can
right.
I shuffle them?
But see, the thing about it is I'm going to know the cards you pick, and I'm going to force you to pick one of those cards. And actually, knowing what's in the bottom of the three stacks doesn't matter.
Well,
it doesn't matter. I mean, I can say there's a five of diamonds, there's a four of spades, and there's a two of hearts, right? Now, I'm gonna force you to pick one of those cards. This is the freaky part.
But I want to shuffle them so you don't know the order of them. Why? You're not supposed to know the order of them.
All right, go ahead.
Because if you know the order, you can remember
no
how...
No magician puts up with this, by the
you
way.
Can, if you,
this
if
never
you
happens.
Know the order,
this
if
never
you know
happens.
The order, you, then
go.
You know if I pick
okay.
which,
all right.
which pile.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Because you can't see them. Because okay. otherwise you can memorize the order of the cards.
Okay. Okay. All right. I won't look.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. You ready?
Yes.
You can pick either the first stack, the second stack, or the third stack. The first stack, the second stack, or the third stack. Which stack would you like?
I will go with the third stack.
Okay, third stack. So what card is that? Tell everybody at home.
Two of hearts.
Two of hearts. Okay, let's see if we can get this again. Two of hearts. You sure about that one?
Yeah, because now you're trying to think up your lay down.
D-W-O-O-F-H-E-A-R-T-S. What's your favorite kind of entertainment?
Magic.
Or who's your husband's name?
Scott.
S-C-O-T, two of hearts. What do you think
don't
of that?
Don't encourage him.
Okay,
do
now.
Do not encourage him.
So, so like I said, military training is pretty cool. Now, that whole military story is complete and utter bullshit. I wasn't a spy. I was electronic warfare. I'm going to teach you exactly how to do this trick, and I'm going to teach the audience at the same time. So, let's all get nine cards. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, while I'm doing this, if you're at home in the live chat, go ahead and get yourself some cards. Maxine, come over here. Grab these cards. And take nine
careful
for yourself
with the wire, sir.
And give nine to anybody else who wants nine cards. And we're going to go through this. This is so cool.
You didn't know you guys were going to have audience participation today, huh?
That's a good story, though, huh?
It's irritating.
It's a good story, huh?
No, it's irritating.
I love magic.
Don't you agree? Do you like magic, Tara?
I am on par with everything you're talking about.
Me.
In other words, Tara
Maxine,
loves it.
Maxine, do you like magic? It doesn't
loves it.
Bug you not knowing
all right,
how it's
so
done.
You guys got nine cards?
Yes.
All right, so this whole thing I was doing here, looking at the cards, is complete bullshit. And this is all just acting.
Well, this has something to do with it, though.
So here's what we're going to do. You can make three stacks of three. 1, 2, 3. Doesn't matter what order you do it in. Doesn't matter at all. Three stacks of three. Now, if you watch me do this, you may have noticed that when I gave her options, I used different hand signals. I only did that so it looked like I was trying to force her to do something. It had nothing to do with anything. I did this. You can pick stack one, you can pick stack two, or you can pick stack three. 1, 2, 3. It means nothing. It has nothing to do with the trick. It's just fun to do, right? I wanted to get in the head. I wanted to be in here. I wanted to be this guy. So. Pick a stack. It doesn't matter which one. Right, so turn it over. So in our case, it's five of diamonds. Take one of your stacks, turn it over. Now leave it over like this, like I'm doing. Let's go to camera four. And then you're going to take the other two stacks. You're just going to put them on top of each other like this. Right? So they're like this. You're just going to remember this card, whatever it is. Mine's a five of diamonds. Yours is whatever it is. You're going to take this stack of three, right? And put it on top like I had done as well. So just put it right on top. Now, you're literally just going to spell out the cards you have. Now, we all have different cards. Like, I'm going to do my five of diamonds. F-I-V-E. And then once you count the first word, you drop the stack on top.
So now the five of diamonds is on the bottom.
Let me see. No.
Oh.
O-F, so five of, drop. And then diamonds for me, D-I-A-M-O-N-D-S, drop. And then the last thing you do is I asked her, what's your least favorite entertainment? I knew it was magic. And so it really sounded spontaneous that she just made up a word and I used it. I knew it was going to be magic. It has to be a five-character word. The second time I said, what's your husband's name? Scott. It's also five characters. One, two, three, four, five of diamonds for me.
But
it works every time.
But I'm trying to figure out because this card, you
did
always.
It work? So in the audience, it worked for them too.
But you always start off, how do you, what do you do first? You spell out, you do the card. If it's a five, you have to put down five cards. If it's a...
No, it doesn't matter.
What's the first one that you do?
So you put three stacks.
Right.
You pick whatever. In this case, it's an ace of clubs.
Right.
So you take the other two stacks.
Right.
You put them on top of each other. And you just remember that it's
an ace
of clubs.
Uh-huh.
You just put it on top as well.
Right. And then the first ones you put
and you just
down
read out.
Are...
You spell out the name of the card.
So ace.
A-C-E.
But that's only three cards, where if it's a four, that would be an even number. So I'm just trying to figure out how it works.
I don't know how it works. And that's the crazy part. I have no idea.
You don't even know how your own trick.
And so I've seen this trick now a couple times.
So you
I
just thought a trick, but you don't really understand
how
it works.
I have no clue. Isn't that awesome? And I thought I knew. And here's so.
It's awesome you can do it, but don't you want to understand why
it
works?
So I thought about this today. I was rehearsing the trick so I could do it quickly, and I was thinking to myself, "Oh, I think I've got it. I think I understand how it works." So I went through some iterations of how I thought it would work, and it was like, "That's it. I was right. I was right twice." I'm like, "Oh," and then the third time I was wrong, and the truth is, I liked it better that way. I liked not knowing. It's like knowing how, like for instance, I do this trick a lot with folks.
I don't like
where
that nine.
You do this. You go, okay, I've got a penny in my hand. Can you see that penny? I should go to, what would be a better, go to two. Yeah, go to two. So I got a penny in my hand. You see that? I'll stand up like that. See that? And I grab it. And then I go, okay, I have that penny. Let me get my magic cell phone.
Third there.
Right there. And I rub it over there, and that becomes a nickel, right? I do that all the time. And all that is, I do it in with Mexican train a lot, right? I'll have one color train, and it will turn into a different one. And all that is palming. I've palmed the nickel for 10 minutes. Nobody really notices it. And then I do that, and people are like, what the hell happened there? I just palmed it. But this, I really thought and by knowing that trick, the palming, it's not as fun as it used to be for me, watching somebody else do it, watching somebody great do it. This, I don't have the first freaking clue how this works, and I'm okay with it, because it's magic. It's math is what it is, but it's just the coolest magic ever. And that's the other part of magic, math. Okay? Okay, let's take a break as Melissa's brain explodes. And how far are we into this show so far? You really don't like it?
No.
That's all right.
I like my hammer.
I think.
I like his shirts too. It says get hammered.
Yeah. So that's good.
They're cute. I've seen them around.
You want to keep going or do you want to end it? Maybe we should do this. We got a good email about tipping. Some more tipping.
Yeah, let's do the email.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with listener email. This is, and viewer email. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Be right back. Watch. This is David Ivey for Pub Crawl.
Funny because David from you should just leave it on. Hi, I'm David Ivey from Pub Crawl, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. And scene.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, if you want to reach out to us, several ways to do that. You can hit our email address, which is onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq. At livinginlv.com. Of course, if you want to hit our web-based voicemail, you can. We're not going to show you how to do it. Just go to the website, hit a red tag, green button pops up, do that, you're in. And of course, live chat, where you are part of the show. All right, let's get ready for more magic. Watch this. Put my finger through my ear. You see that? Ow! Ow! Let's do it, listener email. tipping. This is from Stuartini. Stuartina, because he thought we should have a girl email.
He wanted me to read it then.
Nah, that's right. It's a lot of stuff. I just want to kind of cover some interesting things, which was, he said, the practice of adding mandatory tips, even if it's only to you, is growing in the UK. I didn't notice that when we were there. The worst offenders...
Well, no, but I don't know that. We assumed that it wouldn't be on this. I don't know that we would have even have looked for it.
No, it did happen, because what he said, the worst offenders also leave a tip line on the bill, hoping to trick unsuspected punters, usually Americans, into tipping twice. We did that when we were in the UK. I tipped, and there was already a tip on there. That did happen to
us. Yes,
yes. That did happen.
Wasn't that at the Irish
I think it was a pub.
Right by where we were staying, where we had dinner that night?
I think so.
Yes, I do remember that happened.
And he says he was once chased out of a restaurant in New York because he only left a 10% tip. They wanted
really?
To know what was wrong.
I'm trying to imagine Stuart getting chased out of a restaurant, but
right.
Okay.
So his question is, one of the first questions, if you were to tip low, would you give an explanation so they could improve, or would you just run?
Okay.
I don't do a lot of running.
Do you want a response?
Yeah, what would you do? What's your answer to that?
I don't explain, but probably by the time I'm giving a bad tip, which we don't usually do because we usually try to rectify the issue prior to that, but if we were to give a bad tip, usually we are complaining, so we're already being vocal about something.
They know that there's something not
We're not ones not to provide input. I know people will be shocked by that, but you and I, there are people that would be afraid to.
Yeah, that's not really us.
No, that's not us. But there are a lot of people that wouldn't send something back because they're afraid their steak's going to get spit in, or they wouldn't provide that feedback. But
we would normally provide the feedback.
Yeah.
And I have no problem not tipping the 15%, or we normally tip 20.
Because now Stuart's head's going to explode.
Well, we do that because in the U.S. they pay below minimum wage typically for those folks, and so we realize that they make the majority of their money based upon tips.
Well,
so
if it's really good service, we do tips.
Yeah, and then he also did some back of the envelope math. He said, "He goes, the person who hails the cab, because I brought this up in last show, the person who gets your cab, who's sitting there, you know, at the entrance of your hotel, and just basically does this, bloop, that guy, bloop. So he's not doing anything really." He goes, this guy's probably getting $500 for an 8-hour shift.
Right.
That might be at the low end, $1 per cab, 3 per minute, busy hour. That's $880 an hour going down to, say, 30 for a quiet minute.
Well, but not everybody will actually tip.
Right.
Out of that 3, maybe 1 will actually tip.
It depends on the hotel.
Well, it depends on the time of the night, too.
Right, right.
Later and more drinks, more people are tipping.
Tip.
And bigger tips. So he's saying $1. Some people are going to do
3,
2 or
five.
3. Or, yeah.
I've seen all of that. The person cleaning your room gets at most $300, 4 rooms an hour, $5 a room. That's probably very high end. So basically his recommendation is you should tip your room people more because they're working harder, which I think is
I usually tip by how many people are staying in the room because that is how many towels and sinks and stuff are dirty.
He also asked a sexism question. Why are all those cab getters men? Why aren't any of them? He's never seen a woman, boop, cab getter. I haven't either. Isn't that interesting? I wonder what that is.
It is.
Then he brought up another sexism thing. I remember reading a while ago that someone was taken a Las Vegas club to court because they are offering to let women into free, but they still charge men an entrance fee. I don't remember what the outcome was, but I guess he failed because the practice is still in common. Do you find this an acceptable practice with the law or with us? Do you find this is an acceptable practice along with the egregious, in my view, local pricing? All right, so we've... All right.
Two clubs.
Damn it, Stuart. We've had this talk many times. The reason why I think local pricing is appropriate is because I'm a local. Thank you. That's really pretty much it. No.
I don't think that he's talking about locals. I think he's talking about women.
I think he's talking about women. He's both. First of all, he goes, do you think that it's fair to have women going free and not men? And he also is continuing to say he thinks local pricing is bullshit, is what he's arguing. He's arguing both.
Interesting.
So I argue that, I've complained about the woman-only or the woman-free stuff. But the truth of the matter is I don't really get too hung up about it. And the reason is because it's just business. You know, it's business. What are you going to do? And the truth of the matter is anybody can refuse anybody anything. So if they say, I'm going to let the women in free, and it's going to do that because there's more women in there, which makes men happier, go ahead. And if you're going to do discounts, I mean, if I were in the UK, if I were in, London, and they gave a Londoner a discount because he's local, I don't think I'd be offended by that. I mean, you know, because they're supporting them in the hard times and the good times. That's my intent behind the locals deal. Doesn't really bother me that much. And I've seen it. I mean, bars have that all the time, happy hours for women or specials for women. And gyms apparently have that
a lot.
Well,
yeah, but the gyms got sued and lost.
Did they lose?
Yeah, so now, if you look at, Las Vegas Athletic Club, I think that was, I'm not 100%, but there was a local gym that was doing that. And now their ads are like, oh, ladies free. But wait, men get in free, too, now.
Oh, yeah,
still say ladies free, and then in small print they, men get in free, too.
And so the last thing he asked was, I've noticed that based upon the demographics of slot players are weighted towards middle-aged women, as the largest group, why are the drink people, the people who bring out free drinks, why are they women?
Well, I think that's a great question.
Isn't it?
Well, and I'm not sure they call them cocktail hostesses either, or what they call them. Some places call them models, and then they can hold them to weight issues.
Do you gamble? No?
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting, though, about the club thing, because I never thought about that from a legal perspective. If you let the women in free and charge the men, wouldn't that be the same as like a fitness club?
I don't know.
And maybe it's different because it's a, it's not a membership.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not quite sure how they legally do get away with that.
I don't know either. Anyway, so I say if you're local, get a discount. If you're a woman, go in free. I think they should have male cocktail waiters, I guess, giving out free drinks, servers. And other than that, that's the greatest magic trick ever. All right. Thanks, everybody, for playing along. Thanks to our awesome live studio audience. Thanks to our awesome live chat. And, guys, we're going to catch you next week, I've decided. What the hell? It's good. We'll see you guys
next week.
Seems like
a good idea.
Take care, everybody. Bye now. I think I made the under. Dick.